Hello, and welcome to a special Halloween episode of the Podfic Pals. Today we have three fics for you. But before we tell you all about the wonderful fics that we have for you today, we would like to ask you to fill in our questionnaire that you can find through our Tumblr at podfic-pals.tumblr.com. It will tell us what you would like to see more of in Season 2. And now, let's get back to the fics. Mia will read All's Well That Ends Better by Graceling in a Suit. Evie will be reading Rapture by All Was Well 16, and Emma will be reading the Tricks and Treats series by Homo Socially Yours. Grab a cup of cocoa and enjoy. Have a good spooky time. My name is Mia, and today I will be reading All's Well That Ends Better by Graceling in a Suit. That username is with underscores between every word on AO3 and with dashes between every word on Tumblr. The fic is 5.5k long. It is rated general audiences. The relationship is Harry Styles and Louis Tomlinson. And some of the tags are Halloween costumes, house party, meet cute, very butchered Lord of the Rings references, scheming friends, crack, and fluff. And it's described as basically a rom-com set on Halloween. You're welcome. The summary is as follows. If Louis had ever dared to suggest that Halloween was his favorite holiday, he was paying for that dearly tonight. AU. Louis goes to a Halloween party as a hobbit and finds himself a Gandalf. Mix in Niall, Liam, and Zane as Louis's meddling employees, and you've got yourself a witch's brew. If Louis had ever dared to suggest that Halloween was his favorite holiday, he was paying for that dearly tonight. The cheap plastic ears of the last-minute costume he'd nicked from Liam kept bloody falling off, and he'd already taken his cloak off to try and combat the oppressively hot stickiness of the house party he had somehow agreed to attend. But none of that was as bad as the feet. It was like wearing a pair of flippers on land, except he was sure he looked more of a dickhead. People kept treading on them, apologizing, then becoming incredibly confused whilst drunkenly staring at the ground and trying to work out if they were his real feet. Of course they weren't his fucking real feet. Any sober person could tell you that. Because, for some unknowable reason, he decided that stealing Liam's 5-year-old hobbit costume was a better idea than Hawaiian Frankenstein, and not only because Liam begged him to wear it. He'd been trying to prove his co-workers wrong that he had a complex about his size, which he definitely fucking didn't, because he was normal-sized. He cursed loudly as he tried to navigate his way to the kitchen, people on either side jostling him without care. There was a techno remix of that ridiculous skeleton song blasting over the speakers Stan had rigged up, beer all over the floor, and Mother Teresa was doing a striptease on the dining room table. It was only 9:30. Eventually, he shoved his way into the kitchen, ignoring the sloshed idiot behind him yelling, "Oi, watch it, dwarf!" Not quite accurate, but at least he had the right franchise. Louis sagged against the kitchen counter, thunked his head against the cabinet behind him, closed his eyes, and enjoyed the blessed emptiness of the kitchen. He didn't used to be such a grouch at parties. He wasn't sure when that changed. Probably about when his ex-boyfriend publicly dumped him at one a year ago. There was a bit of a scuffling noise outside the door, and Louis opened his eyes with a sigh. The door opened, and on the other side appeared Gandalf. Louis snuck a glance at his still full cup, half convinced he was hallucinating. The man was laughing at something over his shoulder, but the laughter died down when he turned to see Louis leaning against the counter. Louis took him in calculatingly, noting the fake beard he had on, the limp wizard's hat, what seemed to be his natural curls turned gray with chalk dust or something of the sort, and the ill-fitting robe he was wearing. The first thing that came out of Louis's mouth was a half-remembered gut instinct. "You're late!" The man was taken aback for a moment, but then he caught on. He pursed his lips, eyes sparkling. A wizard is never late, Frodo Baggins, nor is he early. The man's Sir Ian McKellen impression was shoddy at best, but there was something about him that made Louis grin into his mystery punch. He refused to call it zombie juice like the label had said, because he had some dignity, thank you very much. He arrives precisely when he means to. Louis nodded sagely, taking a gulp of his drink. The man wobbled a little in the doorway, someone behind him jostling him, but he didn't take his eyes off Louis. I didn't think I'd find a hobbit here, the man said. His voice was smooth and low, now that he wasn't putting on an accent. Louis' stomach twisted in on itself, probably because of the punch. We pop up in the most unexpected places, mate, Louis sassed. The man barked out a laugh. He took the final step into the kitchen, door clicking shut behind him. He pulled his fake beard down so it was hanging around his neck and stepped closer to Louis. Louis' eyes scanned his face, and he was moved with an instinct to touch the man's cheek, just to see if it felt like the warm vanilla-scented candle it looked like. Then he realized the man was trying to get at the cupboard behind him, and he coughed awkwardly as he shuffled out of the way. "Cheers, mate," Hot Gandalf said, pulling the cupboard door open. "Where do you reckon Stan keeps the good stuff?" he asked, head buried in the shelf. Louis looked at him blankly, then at the kitchen table packed high with all manner of alcoholic beverages. Hot Gandalf made a small noise of victory, and when he pulled back, Louis saw that he was holding a jar of chocolate-coated biscuits. If Louis hadn't already fallen in love with the stranger, he did then. "Want one?" Hot Gandalf asked, presenting Louis with a now-open jar. Somehow, the man wasn't any less attractive talking with a mouthful of dry biscuit. "Yeah, cheers, mate. I've only had 5 meals today, I'm starved," Louis said, nimble fingers pulling a biscuit out. The man barked out another laugh, this one more of a strange honk, then looked immediately embarrassed at the noise he'd made. Once he'd managed to regather his dignity, he asked with faux concern, "Did you skip second breakfast?" Louis nodded sadly, munching on his biscuit. It was kind of gross, and he was starting to suspect that the jar had been living in a darkened corner of that cupboard for quite some time before Hot Gandalf's giant hands had fished it out. "Well, eat up then, Master Hobbit," he said, shaking the jar and ignoring the way the movement caused most of the biscuits to crumble into dust. "You'll need your strength to come on an adventure." Louis raised his eyebrows. "Oh, I'm coming on an adventure, am I? I don't remember agreeing to that." "Well, that would be because I didn't ask," Hot Gandalf said, turning away for a moment to put the jar back in the cupboard. "I'm going to a haunted house tonight, and I've had quite a bit of zombie juice, so I feel brave enough to demand you come with me." Louis leaned back a little, crossing his arms. Normally, he would resent such an arrogant attitude, but there was something so disarming about this man, his goofiness, his sincerity. Louis found himself charmed. "I'll go on one condition," he said, inspecting his fingernails nonchalantly. Hot Gandalf put his hands on his hips, bunching up the ridiculous grey robe he was wearing that looked suspiciously like a reappropriated dressing gown, and pouted. Louis looked up at him from beneath his eyelashes. "You have to let me wear the beard." Hot Gandalf's face was carefully blank for a few moments, and then a grin spread across it. "But how will people recognize me without my beard?" he asked, already struggling to pull it off. Louis shrugged. "Not my problem, mate." Hot Gandalf laughed and presented Louis the beard with a low bow. Louis took it with some amount of trepidation. He didn't really have a plan for what he wanted to do with it. In the end, he decided to attach it to his face. He knocked his fake ears off in the process and cackled at Hot Gandalf's horrified reaction. "Put them back on! The illusion is ruined!" he whined, picking up the ears and shoving them into Louis's chest. Louis shoved them back playfully. "Keep them, mate. I got your beard. You can have those." Hot Gandalf squinted at them in thought, then very slowly placed them on his ears. Louis bit his cheek as he watched. It was definitely a relief not to have them scratching at his ears, and even the cheap plastic beard was less cumbersome in comparison. They made Hot Gandalf look rather ridiculous, though. "Well, I think we're presentable enough now to go on an adventure, hmm?" the man said when he was done, smoothing out his robe. This was the point Louis should say, "No, strange handsome man, I'm not going to go on an adventure with you." Instead, he pulled the kitchen door open with a flourish, not even wincing at the flood of noise. "Lead the way, Mr. Wizard, sir." He really should ask this man's name at some point. Hot Gandalf tipped his ridiculous hat on his way past, leading them back into the drunken mess of a party. Louis couldn't help but cheer as he walked past Spock making out with Wolverine, and Hot Gandalf joined in enthusiastically. The men either ignored them or were too drunk to realize someone was congratulating them. Hot Gandalf led them out of the house and onto the back porch, where the smokers were hanging out. Louis coughed a little, already itching to bum a drag. "Harry!" someone called, and Louis turned to see Zane fucking Malik standing next to Hot Gandalf, hugging him with his free hand. Shit. Hot Gandalf was Harry. Zane's infamous, wonderful at baking, no you can't date him even though he sounds exactly like your type, stop asking, roommate. Louis gulped, looking between Harry and Zane warily. He had an insane moment of hope that perhaps Zane wouldn't recognize him with a beard. "Zane!" Harry enthused, placing his hands on his skinny shoulders and turning them both towards Louis. "This is my hobbit. He's coming with us on our haunted house adventure." Zane looked between Louis and Harry with a suspicious expression. "Harry," he started, no doubt about to ruin all of Louis's chances by telling Harry that his new hobbit friend was actually Louis Tomlinson, his ill-tempered perfectionist boss that he's probably heard a million bad stories about. Louis stuck his hand out with determination, cutting Zane off. "Hi, nice to meet you," he said, a sharpness to his smile he was sure Zane would pick up on. And he did, given his wide-eyed gulp. "Yeah, likewise," he said, far slower than was normal for regular conversation, and shook Louis's hand. Louis and Zane had a strange sort of glaring contest as they shook hands, both squeezing much too hard. Harry said, even sounding lovely when he was put out. "Are you guys okay?" Zane pulled his hand back, making a show of wiping it on his shirt. "Yeah, of course has. Let's get going." Harry smiled, then turned to lead the way. Behind his back, Louis elbowed Zane and raised his eyebrows pointedly. Zane flipped him off with a scowl. When Harry turned back, they started following, both painting a doting smile on their faces as they trotted after him. Louis had a moment where he considered finding Stan to say goodbye, but as he navigated the crowded, loud party on his way to the front door, he decided against it. Louis could text him in the morning, pretend like he'd had a great time, and that would be that. When they reached Zane's car, Louis expected Harry to climb into the front seat. Instead, he pulled open the back door with a flourish that almost whipped Louis's borrowed ears off his head, and motioned for Louis to go in first. "Star treatment, eh?" Louis laughed, crawling into the back seat. Zane made a face at him in the rearview mirror. Harry just laughed, clambering in to sit next to Louis and pulling the door shut behind him. He opened his mouth to say something, but Zane turned over the engine and cut him off. He pulled out onto the street, cranking up the radio. Harry closed his mouth and smiled bemusedly at Louis. Louis resisted the urge to kick Zane's seat. The trip to the haunted house took only about 10 minutes all up, and Harry spent the time trying to convince Louis to drink some car hooch that he'd pulled from underneath the passenger seat. It involved a lot of pouting and doe eyes. Never let it be said that Louis Tomlinson didn't have a strong, stubborn streak when he wanted to, but right then, the streetlights flashing over Harry's smooth skin, the way he managed to look so lovely even in a dressing gown with chalk-dusted gray hair, well, Louis drank the damn hooch, and it tasted suspiciously wonderful. Zane laughed at his expression from the driver's seat, then turned down the radio long enough to tell Louis it was a mix of rum, chocolate syrup, maple syrup, cinnamon, and pumpkin spice milk. Louis pretended to gag. Harry stole the bottle back with a hurt expression that melted into a grin when Louis grabbed the awful thing back to have another swig. There was no point being more sober than your wizard companion on a late Halloween adventure, as he always said. Well, he could start saying it now. When Zane finally pulled up to their destination, it wasn't at all what Louis had been expecting. They were on a regular fucking suburban street, with regular houses and white picket fences and Range Rovers and trimmed lawns. Louis looked at Harry in confusion, but the other man was already stumbling out of the car. He had far too many legs to deal with, it seemed. It was a pity he'd been hiding them under his robe, because the flash of thigh Louis was introduced to looked like it deserved to see the world. Should have an international devoted fan base, a thigh like that. Perhaps the car hooch was stronger than Louis thought, he mused, as he stumbled out after Harry. This is it, right? He asked, leaning against the roof of the car as he gazed up at the boring two-story house in front of him. Harry turned to grin at him wickedly. He leaned against the car on the other side, mirroring Louis. When he spoke, it was in the goofiest, fake, spooky voice Louis had ever heard. This house contains all manner of horrors and delights, he said, wiggling his fingers. Beware all those who enter. Zane snorted. Louis looked over to him. He'd almost forgotten he was there at the periphery of Louis's vision, loitering in the driveway and lighting a cigarette. What Harry means is, Zane started, pausing to take a drag. Friends of ours set up a haunted house every year, and they've promised this one will be scary, but they never are. Harry whipped his head around. Louis couldn't see his expression from this angle, but he was sure he looked like a betrayed frog. Louis smiled at the back of his head for a delirious few seconds, and then it dawned on him. This was Niall and Liam's haunted house. Every single year they bragged about the haunted house they were setting up, until everyone in the office either told them to shut up or agreed to come check it out. Louis had seen all of them, of course, because he was an excellent friend and a very cool boss. In fact, he was already booked to attend this very house over the weekend. But if Harry and Zane were seeing it tonight, then Niall and Liam were definitely in there. And there was no way Liam or Niall wouldn't spill the beans on Louis's top-secret identity. You coming? Harry asked. Louis looked between him and the house. He scratched his fake beard in thought, then made a face. I don't know how you kept this on for any amount of time, mate, he said, tugging it away from his face. He walked round the car and chucked it right at Harry's grin, causing him to sputter ridiculously. Come on, then. Haven't got all night, he shot over his shoulder, marching up to the door. Zane trotted after him, still smoking his cigarette. Harry had caught up by the time Louis had reached the front porch. The way he walked next to Louis, leaning almost worryingly into Louis's space, would have been off-putting if Louis wasn't so into it. It was no surprise, really, that the Harry he'd been hearing about for months, and eating the delicious baked creations of, and looking at the beautiful photography of on his website like an absolute creep, was exactly Louis's type. Fate clearly intended for them to meet. Louis hadn't been distracted enough to miss the anchor tattoo on Harry's wrist when his sleeve had fallen up his arm as he talked with his hands on the car right here. An anchor tattoo that lined up perfectly with Louis's rope. Yes, definitely fate. And only one man dared stand in between Louis and fate. Louis sent another glare over his shoulder at Zane as he leaned his weight onto the buzzer. His sudden increase in pettiness was no doubt the result of car hooch seeping its way into his veins, but he was too buzzed to much care. The door before him was pulled open suddenly, and Louis startled backwards into Harry's warm chest. He steadied Louis on instinct, two hands gripping Louis's waist, but Louis was too otherwise occupied to appreciate it. Because in front of him wasn't a haunted house at all. It was a regular fucking house. What? He started. Now! Someone yelled, and then Harry was stumbling into him from behind. They were pushed into the house quicker than Louis could react. Slam! Went the door. Louis turned to blink at it in shock, still clinging to an unstable Harry. You're welcome! Came a voice from outside, tinged with laughter. Louis peered through the peephole. On the other side of the door was Niall, Liam, and Zane. They were high-fiving each other like the ridiculous traitors twats they were. Can you explain yourself, please? Louis called sweetly. Liam and Niall looked back at the door guiltily, but Zane still seemed unfazed. We're going to come back in the morning to let you out. We made you a nice dinner. Don't break anything. Goodbye, he listed, and then turned and walked off the porch. Have fun, boys, Liam called as he turned to follow. Louis glared at him impotently through the peephole. It wasn't fair that Liam was using his cute camp voice at a time like this when he knew how much Louis loved it. Niall waved cheerily, then he was gone as well. Louis swore. He thunked his head against the wood of the door and closed his eyes. There was absolutely no way he could explain this to Harry without coming across as a totally insane creep, even if he blamed everything on his useless employees. employees who apparently pitied Louis so much that they conspired to lock him in a house with their hot single friend because he'd obviously never have a chance otherwise. Harry said from behind him, clearing his throat and shuffling. Louis sighed. He turned, still leaning against the door. I'm really sorry about this, Louis. Louis raised his eyebrows. Quite rude of Harry to steal his line. Harry was looking at his feet, clutching his wizard's hat in his hands like an infant who'd spilled juice all over the telly or something. But Louis knew from experience that infants were never this remorseful. It's not your fault, Harry. I should really explain, Louis started. Then it dawned on him. How did you know my name? I never told you. Harry still didn't look up from his feet, but his eyes widened to an almost terrifying degree. It made him look like a squeeze toy of some sort. And he'd known Louis's name. Harry turned on the spot and took off down the hallway. What? Harry, come back here! Louis yelled, sprinting after him. How did you know my name? Harry was weaving through the house, losing time by opening a couple doors, seeing how much Louis had caught up, then taking off again. His long bloody legs gave him an advantage when he reached the stairs, taking them four at a time like some kind of heathen. But Louis had hooch in his veins, and he'd already ripped his cumbersome plastic feet off, and he was getting his answers, goddammit. Stop running, he panted, clinging to the railing as Harry disappeared into the upstairs level. No, Harry yelled back. Leave me to die of embarrassment in peace, please. Louis halted on the stairs as he did a double take. What's there to be embarrassed about? The sounds of running slowed, then stopped. Louis was still only halfway up the stairs, and he couldn't see where Harry had gone. He started moving up the stairs again, slowly and cautiously. You're gonna think I'm a dickhead, Harry replied, his low drawl almost too quiet to hear in the sudden silence of the house. Louis climbed the final step, looking around the floor. Harry was standing next to an open window, one leg dangling out like he paused halfway through trying to escape a house fire. Louis did his best to look calming and sympathetic. It was really hard, though, because Harry looked ridiculous. I promise I won't, Louis swore, taking another step towards Harry. But do you think you could step away from the window, please, love? Harry sighed. He pulled his leg back onto dry land, then rearranged his rope where it had come undone a little, what with all the running from his problems he'd just done. So, he started, taking a second to run a hand through his hair, releasing a cloud of chalk dust in the process. I kind of, maybe, know who you are. Louis crossed his arms. I'm not stalking you or anything, I promise, Harry hastened to add. It's just, Zane's always talking about how cool his boss is, and I was pretty curious. And then I saw you at Niall and Liam's haunted house last year. Do you remember? The Disney-themed one? Louis winced at the memory. And you were like... Harry laughed uncomfortably. Then he squared his shoulders. When he spoke next, it was with conviction. You were really fit, and you were so cute with that baby pig, and you seemed really lovely and funny. You wouldn't recognize me. I was Zombie Maleficent. I had a lot of makeup on, and a dress, and horns. But the point is, Harry took a step forward, that I begged Zane to set me up with you, and he said he'd see what he could do. And then nothing happened for a year, so I kind of forgot about it. Louis raised his eyebrows. No, I didn't forget about you. I forgot that I asked him to set us up. I was actually, gonna come along to your office Christmas party and introduce myself. But then I saw you tonight, and I didn't really handle it very well, so I just pretended I didn't know who you were, and then I invited you along on a whim, and I'm starting to realize that was definitely their plan. He blew out a breath, like that rambling mess of an explanation had taken a lot out of him. Maybe it had. Louis didn't know him. But it was becoming increasingly obvious that he quite wanted to. Right, well, he said briskly, fishing his phone from his pocket. He dialed Zane's number before Harry could react. Zane, he chirped when the lad picked up. You're fucking fired. Harry waved his hands in panic. No, don't, Louis, he hissed, staring at the phone with horror. Louis tucked the phone into his neck, ignoring the sounds of Zane giggling on the other end, and stood on his tiptoes to give Harry's cheek a quick peck. It didn't quite work to calm him down, but he definitely stopped waving his arms about like an inflatable balloon boy. Instead, he stilled, pressing an odd hand to his cheek. Louis turned his attention back to his call. "I can't believe you would tell me all about your wonderful, perfect-for-me friend, then tell me I wasn't allowed to date him, then have it turn out you've been planning some elaborate, convoluted, and utterly unnecessary setup for us when you could have just given him my number months ago and we could be on our honeymoon in Paris by now." Zane had quieted his laughter a little in deference to Louis's very legitimate anger, which Louis appreciated, but it didn't make him any less fired. "Paris," Harry whispered dazedly from behind Louis. "Look, Lou," Zane replied, voice sincere for once. "I could tell you weren't over Nick yet," when Harry first asked. "You were still moping about the office and sighing into your coffee, even though it had been like a solid 2 months since he dumped you. And then you picked yourself up and you had a bunch of flings, and we were all very proud of you. But Harry's my mate, and yes, you guys are perfect for each other, but we all agreed we didn't want to set you up before you were ready for something serious again." Louis almost threw his phone out the bloody window. If he had any idea how invested his employees apparently were in his sex life, he would have transferred to a different department months ago. But then, he looked back at Harry's confused, squishy face, how he smiled on instinct the second they made eye contact, even though he was definitely bricking it, and Zane might perhaps have a point. Louis sighed. "You're still fired, babes," he snapped into the phone, with much less heat than before. "Yeah, yeah," Zane said. "See you Monday, boss." Louis frowned at his phone. "What? No, you'll see me tomorrow when you come let us out of this random family's home, thank you very much." Zane sniggered. "Nah, I'm making Niall do that. He's your favorite. You won't hit him." Louis hung up. Did you, Harry said, fiddling with his rope. "Did you really fire him?" He looked genuinely distraught. "What?" Louis said. "Of course not. He's just done me a massive favor. Really, I should send him an edible arrangement. Once I'm done being pissed at him, that is." Harry blinked a few times, then smiled cheekily. It was like the house warmed up several degrees at the very sight. "Oh yeah? And why's that?" Louis definitely wasn't tipsy anymore. The last 20 minutes had been very sobering, but he still felt giddy all of a sudden, like his body was made of bubbles. "Because now I'm locked in a very lovely house with an even lovelier boy," Louis replied, stepping close and draping his arms over Harry's shoulders brazenly. "And it's a Halloween miracle." Harry snorted cutely, threading his fingers together on the small of Louis's back. It was a little awkward at first as they settled against each other, but after a moment everything seemed to click into place. Harry nuzzled his cheek into Louis's hair and whispered into his ear, "I don't think Halloween miracles are a thing, Louis." Louis exhaled sharply, trying to blow some of the chalky strands from his face. "It'll be a Halloween miracle if you could have a shower, actually," he sassed back, stepping on Harry's feet. Harry hummed a thought, swaying them together. Louis was apparently more tired than he thought, because he was on the edge of sleep already, just being warm in Harry's arms in that still dark house. "Will you join me?" he asked, taking a shaky step towards the stairs with Louis still perched on his feet. Louis gripped onto Harry's shoulders for safety. "All right, that's enough of that," he said, prying himself out of Harry's hold before the mad fool could tumble them both down the stairs. "How about you shower, by yourself, creep, and I'll see what this mysterious dinner they've apparently made us is." Harry pouted a little, and Louis couldn't tell if he was just being difficult or if he was genuinely offended. "Don't look at me like that, love. I'll try and find you some biscuits. How about that?" Harry's pout turned into a cackle. He followed Louis back downstairs, calling, "As long as they're better than Stan's," over his shoulder as he made his way to the bathroom. Louis smiled after him for a second, then turned towards the kitchen. It was going to be a fun night. 1 year later. "Louis, your boy is here," Niall called, far louder than need be in an office as small as theirs. Louis looked up from his work, a smile already on his face. Harry's head peeked around the corner of his cubicle, a sight made even more ridiculous by how much the man had to bend down in order to hide behind the 4-foot cubicle walls. "Afternoon, darling," Louis said, turning his chair away from his desk and leaning up for a kiss. Harry rushed forwards to give him one, then he pressed another against Louis's cheek. "Hi, baby," he said, sticking his nose behind Louis's ear. "You guys are disgusting," Niall commented, resting his arms on the top of Louis's cubicle walls. "Absolute filth." His tone of voice was more charmed than anything else. Louis flipped him off anyway, kissing Harry again for the hell of it. Harry pulled back after a second with a laugh, rising back to his full height. "Are you almost done?" Louis leaned back into his chair with a sigh. "Nearly, Has. I just need to send a couple more emails." Harry started giving him a gentle shoulder massage. "Emails? Spooky," he drawled. Niall pointed at him. "Yes! Next year's theme, Office Massacre. I love it." Louis rolled his eyes fondly, fingers flying on the keyboard as he listened to them bicker about color schemes and where to find cheap office furniture to ruin with fake intestines and blood splatter. By the time Louis was wrapping up, Liam and Zane had joined in on the planning, throwing about increasingly terrible ideas. Louis hadn't managed to squeeze this year's theme from the bastards, but he was looking forward to finding out tonight. Well, he had been before the conversation he'd just heard. Even though he'd much rather be spending his and Harry's one-year anniversary somewhere nicer than a haunted house, he'd been bullied into going. Said bullying involved several months of pastry-related bribery, courtesy of the local bakery, and it was about to pay off for his 3 worst workers. All right, let's go," Louis said, shutting down his computer and shrugging on his jacket. He'd made no attempt to dress for the occasion, but Niall, Zane, and Liam had all turned up in horrifying black cloaks this morning, and no amount of shaming or threatening could convince them that they shouldn't be looking like Death Eaters on company time. It didn't really give Louis much hope for this year's theme. The car ride to the house was the usual chaotic affair. Niall, Liam, and Zane playing mood music that consisted of dubstep remixes of spooky organ riffs and just generally being impish pests. Louis and Harry were content to sit in the back and have their own little quiet conversation about their weekend plans, a lovely trip to Paris they'd been planning for a few months. Then Niall pulled up to the location. It was the same house as last year, which already had Louis on the edge of his seat. Harry clasped his hand firmly as they ascended the porch steps, looking as nervous as Louis felt. Liam, Niall, and Zane had already disappeared to get everything ready, and when exactly they'd adopted Zane into their strange haunted house-creating cult, Louis wasn't sure. They waited patiently in front of the door as they'd been instructed. Just before the door was pulled open, grand-sounding music started to play. It was oddly familiar, but Louis couldn't quite place it. Harry stepped through the now open door, dragging Louis in with him, and they looked around the foyer together. It was decorated sort of like a cavern, with spiderwebs on the ceiling and a couple skeletons run through with prop swords littered around the place. Louis peered around the open door in the dining room area, where it looked like a volcano had been set up on the table. There was something painted on a sheet stuck to the wall behind it, a dark tower with something red at the top. Louis squinted at it. No, he didn't need glasses. He was perfectly visioned when the music swelled into an unmistakable melody. Louis threw his head back and laughed. Harry stomped his foot next to him, realizing at the same time as Louis. "You fuckers," he called into the house, and was met by quiet sniggering. Louis rubbed a hand down his face, groaning and laughing at the same time. "It's fucking Lord of the Rings themed, Harry. I hate them." Harry squeezed his hand in solidarity. "Me too. They're the worst." Louis smiled up at him fondly. Then he took off down the hallway. "Come on, Has," he called over his shoulder. "I want to find Hobbiton." Harry followed, laughter echoing through the house.
Hi, I'm Evie, and today I'll be reading Rapture by All Was Well 16. This fic was written for the 1D Christmas Exchange in 2021. It's rated explicit, and some of the tags include vampire, vampire Harry, alternate universe Victorian, historical, lamplighter Louis, strangers to lovers, stalking, mistaken identity, plot twists, smut, vampire bites, and New Year's Eve. The summary reads, "It was New Year's Eve in Victorian London, and a lonely vampire could no longer resist the stunning lamplighter he watched night after night. Or a vampire hairy thick, because what says the holidays like Victorian vampires?" The snow fell softly around Harry as he trudged through the muck and slush on the London streets. If he had turned his face to the sky, perhaps he would have admired the way the snowflakes fell past the gaslit street lamps, but his eyes saw only the sludge at his feet. Misery, rather than cold, hunched his shoulders, keeping his eyes trained to the mud under his boots. If Harry had been human, even the expensive leather boots on his feet and heavy coat would not have been able to keep out the chill. However, that was not an issue for him any longer, and hadn't been for many a year. He wore them now only as not to draw unnecessary and unwanted attention to himself. As he passed pubs and churches, music filtered out into the streets. Festive music, the worst sort to his mind, reminded him only of that which he would never have again. Christmas had come and gone, and the new year was nearly here, and he would spend it in lonely solitude yet again. Instead of dwelling on that kind of remembrance, he focused on the sound of his boots as they squelched through the filth. Later in the night, Harry would roam dark alleys to feed where the foul stench of the miserable gathered. Only one reason, one person, drew Harry from his home at this particular time of the evening, when the grey day gave way to darkness. Harry followed the dim light of the street lamps as they were the direct path to him. Him, Louis. The one bright light in the dreariness of his immortal life. He savored the knowledge of the name, known only through a stroke of chance and the loud voice of a fellow with an Irish brogue who had called out to Louis in passing from an alehouse. Harry kept the name hidden in the blackness of his silent heart, only to be said aloud by him in the quiet rooms of his own home and whispered into the darkness. He found Louis just as he hooked open the lamp window with his pole. His preternatural eyes gazed upon the slender form before him, and a sudden gladness filled him that none but him could admire Louis at this moment. But then the moment ended, as quickly as it began. Louis pulled the chain to release the gas, lighting it with his flame. The street lamp flickered, a green and eerie glow illuminating a face that Harry would see in his dreams, if only he'd been able to dream. He slowed his pace to give him just a hint more time to look upon a face carved by the gods, save only for the tip of his nose where an angel had placed his thumbprint. It was then, as he grew closer, that he heard the tune Louis whistled as he drew his lamplighter pole back from the street lamp. A joyous song, one that Harry did not recognize as one from his human past, but perhaps one he had heard after he'd been turned, blew from between Louis's lips and stopped Harry dead in his tracks. Louis's eyes gleamed oddly in the gaslight and pinned him in place. Though they'd never spoken, and indeed Louis had never before seemed to notice Harry's presence, Harry had for some reason made assumptions about the lamplighter in his thin garments that could not possibly keep out the chill. He'd had the idea that Louis was perhaps a kindred spirit of some kind, a man who'd also been relegated to a life lived in darkness. And yet here he was, whistling a jaunty song as though ready to join carolers singing words of Christmas joy. Louis tipped his hat, his lips tilted into a smile. "Happy New Year to you." "Is it?" "Indeed," Louis replied with an arch brow. "It's New Year's Eve." The 70 years Harry had lived as the undead melded together into meaningless years. It had been some time since he'd last known the exact day in which he existed. Happy New Year to you as well." He stood only a few paces away from Louis, closer now than he'd ever been. His beauty up close stunned him, causing him to involuntarily inch closer. He wished to caress his glass-smooth skin and gather him up in his arms and take him away from this terrible place. For one wild moment, he nearly did just that. He entertained the idea for a fleeting second of desire to snatch Louis off the street and run away until he found a warm place on this earth that could give Louis a flush to his pale cheeks. A place where they could be together. A wave of shame washed over him. This was why he'd kept his distance until now. This man of unearthly beauty deserved more than a lonely vampire devoid of humanity. And then Louis reached out a gloved hand. Would you like to celebrate the new year with me? Perhaps Harry had somehow fallen into a waking dream. How else to explain this man, the object of his desire, suddenly clasping his hand and leading him away from the glow of the street lamps? He trailed along behind Louis through a maze of narrow alleyways. Had he been human, Harry would have been hard-pressed to find his way back out of the twists and turns. Clearly, Louis knew his way quite well, even in the inky darkness beyond where the street lamps glowed. Louis's eyes must have become quite accustomed to the night after working as a lamplighter. They reached a stone building when a voice called out of the darkness. "Like him pretty, don't you, Louis?" A cackle followed the question that did not ask for an answer. Louis shot a glare out into the night, in the direction of the voice, one that Harry recognized as the Irish brogue that had once betrayed to him Louis's name. Uneasiness began to cloud his mind, but he brushed it aside. What did he care if Louis was a rent boy? He had more money than could ever be spent. He could spend every shilling on this beautiful man, night after night, if he so desired. All he had to do was keep himself from draining the boy. Although Harry hated himself for what he was, he still prided himself on refraining from taking a life that deserved to be lived. Perhaps he could simply ply the boy with a bit of gin first, then sip from his wains, just a taste, each night. Louis would never truly know. Excitement began to race through Harry. He could do this. For the right price, Louis might be his. Each godforsaken night, and Louis would no longer have to light the lamps lining the streets and could give his light to Harry instead. Louis led him through the front of a crumbling house into a garden beyond, where an oddly well-kept building appeared before them, tucked amidst rickety wooden structures. The few souls haunting the doorway scurried away at the sight of them, and Harry wondered if they could somehow sense his intentions or inhumanity. As they entered the building, it struck Harry how tidy it appeared compared to what surrounded them. And once they entered what was presumably Louis's home, the rooms were bereft of any personal belongings. They came upon the kitchen, and Louis lit a small lamp before he perched himself atop a smooth table. "What's your name?" Louis's voice sent a shiver of desire down his spine. "Harry." As soon as his name left his tongue, he nearly groaned at his stupidity. If he left Louis alive now, the man would have his real name should anything go awry. He reassured himself that his common name did not truly give much away. Louis crooked a finger, the motion reflected back in the shadow behind him. His lovely smile turned devilish in the feeble light. "Come hither, Harry. Do not stay away over there, shy and alone." Harry took a shaky breath before moving between the legs that opened an invitation to him. It was then, finally, that he realized his mistake as Louis's arms closed around him. Louis lifted the lamplighter's pole to the glass of the lamp's window, hooking one pane open, quite adept now at not shattering it into 1,000 pieces with his strength. Niall thought it a bit ghoulish of him to light the lamps that brought his prey to him. Moths drawn to his flame. But then, Louis had always had a bit of poetry in his soul. The glow of each lamp shone just the right amount of light across his features, obscuring what should be hidden and highlighting the rest. A stroke of brilliance, really, to have found such a reason to roam the streets at dusk and return only before dawn, sometimes with someone in tow, and sometimes not, depending on his mood or the deservedness of his victim. Louis found it ghastly for Niall to name them his lovers, but they each had their way. Tonight, though, Louis searched for a special someone. He'd seen the handsome vampire with the curled hair spilling from beneath his hat stalk him night after night, and tried not to roll his eyes at his ineptness. That was always the way with the young ones. After a few centuries, he would no longer slump through the streets, miserable and moaning about what his life had become. Louis felt generous this evening, the anniversary of the night of his turning. The date no longer held bitter memories for him. Time had mostly healed the wounds of what he had lost, and he did not despair as anyone he'd left had gone to a place far better than remaining here. In any case, on his anniversary, he did like to treat himself to a pretty one. As he lit the gas, he whistled a little tune, waiting for the pathetic appearance of loud, trudging footsteps through the mire. Instead, he heard the light, the adept ones of Niall. "Happy New Year to you, Lou. Come to the public house with me and see who's up for a bit of a lark." Louis snorted. "Tempting. But you know I don't like when they're ale-soaked." "Yeah, yeah, I know," Niall waved a hand in dismissal. "No delight in the chase and a bitter taste." Louis nodded at the recitation of his favorite phrase. "I am in the mood for something a bit different this evening." Niall's head snapped in his direction. "Truly, who is he?" With a shrug, Louis lifted his pole to the next lamp. "He has been faithfully shadowing me for weeks now." With a cackle, Niall threw his hat back in glee. "Does he not suspect? One of the extreme youth, I presume." "Obviously." "Well, enjoy yourself then. How do you expect to find him?" Niall glanced around as though the vampire they discussed would be summoned by their discussion of him. "He shall find me. He just follows the light." Louis grinned and lit the next lamp, resuming his whistled tune. Within the hour, he heard the telltale sounds of a heavy footfall, moving at a snail's pace through the snow. He hid a smile as he reached towards the lamp, allowing his graceful movements to show his assets to best advantage in the dim light. He heard the inhaled breath and the abrupt halt of the footsteps. Louis looked directly into the wide eyes that met his, nearly laughing at the way his new toy's jaw dropped open at his notice. He tipped his hat. "Happy New Year to you!" "Is it?" "Indeed." Louis nearly laughed at the dramatic notion of not knowing. "It is New Year's Eve." "Happy New Year to you as well." With a practiced gaze, Louis fluttered his eyelashes against his cheeks before glancing back at the young vampire and sneered so easily. When just out of reach, Louis held out a hand. "Would you like to celebrate the new year with me?" A thrum of excitement flitted through Louis. It had been quite a long time since he'd had a vampire in his bed. His last companion had become quite tiresome and jealous. He hoped this one would prove more interesting. He led the vampire through the hodgepodge of decrepit dwellings that lined the passages, little more than rooms with sunken roof over them, until he reached one of his many little hideaways. His new vampire would have to prove himself worthy of an invitation to Louis's real home. "Like him pretty, don't you, Louis?" Louis rolled his eyes at Niall's cackle and glared at him as Niall took himself back within the public house to drain some poor foxed soul of his life. Louis became impatient and hurried his strides through the garden as his neighbors scurried away in fear. They knew enough that those who entered into this particular house rarely left. As soon as he entered, he lit a lamp and hopped onto the first smooth surface he saw, spreading his legs. "What's your name?"
"Harry."
He smiled at how easy Harry had proven to be.
"Come hither, Harry. Don't stay away over there, shy and alone."
Harry moved between his legs, his unnecessary breath hitching. Louis locked his arms around him, whispering against the skin of Harry's neck.
"Did you think to take advantage of me, Harry?"
Harry let out a squeak of a noise, unable to move at all within the arms of a much more powerful creature than he. "No?" Cold lips trailed along his jaw. If Harry's heart could beat, it would have pounded hard and fast in his chest. His mind and body thrown into confusion tensed as he sensed the danger, and yet a yearning for more had him wanting to melt into the being who held him. Louis's mouth reached his own, and Harry whimpered a bit as lips softly moved against his.
though only to speak. There is no escape, Harry. Give in to me. Harry let his shoulders droop in surrender. Whatever Louis would do to him now, he deserved it, if only for his own foolishness. Though he allowed that clearly Louis was a much more practiced vampire than he. Oh, Harry, you have much to learn, but perhaps I shall enjoy teaching you. Cold fingers caressed his cheek. Louis pulled his face away, and the temptation proved too great for Harry as he chased after the lips he had longed for. Patience, Harry, patience! Louis tutted, sliding off the table and turning around, apparently confident in Harry's weakness against him, and opened a cupboard to grasp a small phial of oil. Harry's mind whirled, unable to determine what it was that Louis meant to do with him. Perhaps it showed on his face as Louis studied him for a moment. At what age were you turned, Harry? 19. Though no lines marked Louis's face, his eyes softened somehow. Me as well, though many years before you. Harry looked into the depths of Louis's eyes and saw centuries reflected back, but then the eyes shuddered to his gaze, and when they opened again, they blazed with something else altogether. Have you ever lain with another, Harry? Have you ever given your body over to pleasure without taking their blood? A wicked smile crossed Louis's face, though sometimes the joining of the two can be quite delicious. Harry had always intended to take his small bit of relief as he drank the warm blood that sustained him as his only source of pleasure. He shook his head. No. This shall make it more pleasurable for us both. Louis held the oil aloft. Have you fed recently? Yes, a few days ago, perhaps. Louis smiled, teeth bared so that Harry had a view of his sharply pointed eye teeth. Louis stalked towards him now, until Harry bumped against the table. Louis leaned in, but only to snatch up the lamp before crooking a finger and beckoning Harry to follow. A small sitting room with a rather comfortable-looking chair in green velvet sat beside a fireplace. Before a thought entered his head, Louis had grabbed a hold of his arm and sat in the chair, causing Harry to topple onto him, strong arms wrapped around his middle, holding him in place, as the force of Louis' kiss opened his mouth easily. It was a kiss unlike anything he'd ever experienced. His chest rose as if pulled by the strongest magnetism, and for the first time since he'd been turned, he tasted the sweetness of a vampire's kiss. Louis' tongue fed him with a desire he had not known he was missing. He'd been ashamed of what he was and considered his turning a punishment for his desires. After all, it was his desires that had enabled the vampire to seduce him in the first place. But this felt like anything but a punishment. Harry moaned deep in his chest, choking on the sensation of having Louis's fingers digging into his flesh as Louis's tongue licked into his mouth. The sudden release from Louis's hold made him dizzy as Louis pulled away and swung him around to sit upon his lap, facing away from him. His eyes focused on the flickering light against the bare walls as he laid back against Louis's chest, allowing Louis's nimble fingers to make quick work of releasing his trousers and garments from their buttons. He panted as Louis cupped his most sensitive areas. He felt himself grow larger and harder within Louis's stroking fingers, working him into a frenzy he'd never known. Louis's other hand had apparently been busy releasing Louis from the confines of his own garments as he suddenly felt a slick finger pressing at his entrance. He gasped, nearly choking on the sensations. He whimpered words of nothing and nonsense as fingers held him open to receive Louis's now slick cock. Harry sat back, rocking into the pleasure within him. One of Louis's hands continued to stroke him until he pushed forwards and back, unable to choose which sensation to chase. Louis's other hand now grabbed hold of Harry's hair, pulling his head into Louis's shoulder, his neck open to Louis's mouth. It was then that he felt the sharp puncturing of his skin. The sting of it flamed through Harry as Louis sucked the blood from his veins. Harry cried out, giving into the rapture at the same moment that Louis filled him fully. Louis nearly drained the poor creature in his lap, but managed to keep control of himself. The sheer intensity had nearly been his undoing, but the knowledge that this could be his future mate kept him from killing him unnecessarily. He carried a weakened Harry into a bedroom to lie on the bed and wait for Louis to return. "Off to light the lamps, love. Be good until I return," Louis laughed. He whistled a continuation of the tune he'd begun earlier in the night, as he picked up his lamplighter's pole and began to light a path for some other bit of prey to find themselves caught in his web, one that could provide he and Harry with a well-deserved meal. He tipped his hat to a man who'd stopped to stare. "Happy New Year to you."
Hi, my name is Emu, and today I will be reading the Tricks and Treats series by Homosocially Yours. It is rated G for general audiences. The pairing is Harry Styles and Louis Tomlinson, with very minor Zayn and Liam. Tags include Halloween, miscommunication, based on a Tumblr post, bad puns, humor, boners, and party. We will start with part one, the package. The summary is, Louis is expecting a package, but the one he opens doesn't contain anything he ever thought he'd find in a box. When he realizes it was intended for his hot new neighbor, he definitely gets worried. The box that was waiting for Louis wasn't unexpected. He'd ordered an extra charger for his mobile and had gotten the notification halfway through work that his package had been delivered. His poor, dying phone would surely thank him. That was why he hadn't bothered to check the name on the box before tearing inside of it with his house key after opening his door, pulling out the copious bubble wrap as he let himself inside. He grabbed the well-wrapped bundle, which felt curiously hard, and rolled his eyes at the ridiculous levels of care people were taking for something that was hardly breakable. "Hello, little phone charger. You're finally— Ah!" The item he'd been holding clattered to the floor as he stared down in complete horror. Grabbing the abandoned box it had come in, he rifled through the extra packaging until he found the packing slip, which read, "Contents. One human bone. Thank you for purchasing from the Bone Zone. Please remember to leave a positive review if you are satisfied with the bone you've received." He was about to text Liam, freaking out, when his doorbell rang. He eyed the bone warily, as if it might get up and follow him to the door, then looked through the peephole to see the face of his hot new neighbor looking back at him. "Be right there," Louis yelled as he ran to throw the bone back into its box. What would hot neighbor think of him if there was a fucking bone lying around his house? Louis shuddered to think. "No worries, mate. I think I got your package by mistake." Louis tossed the open bone box behind a sofa and ran to the door, standing inside of it to block hot neighbor from trying to come in. "I'm Harry," hot neighbor said, running one hand through his short curls. "And you must be Louis. I have your, cable thing." "Right, thank you. Been meaning to come over and say hello since you moved in a month ago. I'd invite you in, but, Louis cast a glance over his shoulder, staring at the box. "It's a bit wrecked in here." Harry chuckled, looking down at the ground for a moment as he shoved his hands deep in his pockets. "Yeah, no, I get that. You should see my place." He winced slightly and shook his head before looking back up at Louis. "But I'm afraid you may have gotten my package, too, by mistake." A cold tendril of fear snaked its way through Louis's gut as he stared, fish-mouthed, back at Harry. It took him a moment to remember how to breathe, but when he did, it was with a forced smile and a bark of laughter. "Right! Your package! I must have. Hold on." He slammed the door and collapsed against it. Apparently Hot Harry was a potentially homicidal? Time to invest in better locks. Louis grabbed the package and shoved the contents back in, casting his eyes around for tape. Maybe he could pretend he hadn't opened it? That thought only lasted a moment. Louis wasn't the kind of person who kept various kinds of tape around the house. Steeling himself, he walked back to the door and pasted a smile on his face. "Here you go," he said, shoving the box toward Harry with one hand while he kept the other wrapped around the doorknob, ready to slam it as soon as possible. Harry's eyes went wide when he saw the state of the box, and he looked between it and Louis with what seemed like increasing panic as Louis held the box out, waiting for him to take it. "Shit, that was my, dog barking for me. Must be an emergency. It was nice to meet you, Harry." Louis let go of the box and slammed the door, locking it behind him as he ran off to hide out in his bedroom until he was certain Harry was gone. Part 2. The Costume. Summary. Harry gets a brilliant idea for a perfectly punny, boner-inspired Halloween costume. Putting it together might be dodgy, but he's sure it'll be worth it in the end. As far as Harry was concerned, it was his most brilliant costume idea in years. It had come to him one night while watching an old cheesy horror movie with his friend Niall, trying to make himself laugh to hide the fact that even though the effects were terrible, he was still just a little bit frightened of the eponymous bone monster from Planet Death. Do you think he always calls his Willy a boner, since he's made of bones? Niall cackled a little at the joke, and Harry laughed to himself, secretly proud. Or, like, do you think he uses the bones of his victims as a stand-in for his Willy, like bone dildos or summit? At that point, Niall pelted him with popcorn and told him to shut up and watch the film, but Harry was happy to distract himself quietly with bone humor instead. And when Niall had left later that night, Harry ended up thinking that it might be funny to be the bone monster for Halloween. He just wasn't certain how to differentiate himself from a common skeleton, since that was mostly what a bone monster looked like. His revelation came while doing a bit of landscaping in his new backyard. He wouldn't be able to do much yet, but he figured it was a good idea to prepare for a garden now instead of waiting until the spring to dig up the soil and figure out what to plant and where. He'd grabbed a load of possible necessities and brought them all back, storing them in his shed. He had a shed! It still felt like such a novelty after years of apartment living. As he put a bag of bone meal on the shelf, he laughed to himself at the thought of adding an R to the bag. Boner meal. Boner meal, he said quietly. Then it hit him. A boner. He half wished Niall was there so that he could share his joke with someone. But then he remembered that Halloween wasn't far away and Zane was hosting his annual party. The costume could be his first ever win. He couldn't really get started on it until a couple of days later, but that simply gave him time to plan. Realizing right away that flat or drawn-on bones wouldn't work, he quickly moved on to considering a variety of three-dimensional bones. Plastic, molded silicone, clay, all of them had their own issues. When he finally got down to business, it was on a whim that he searched for actual bones, not expecting to find anything. Apparently, that was foolish. His search returned loads of pages, the first one for a website called The Bone Zone that advertised certified human bones suitable for all your bone needs. He wasn't sure what most people would need with bones, but he clicked through anyway just to look at what they offered. Did you know that you can get human bones off the internet for really cheap? Niall sputtered on the other end of the phone line. And hello to you as well, Harry. Now what the fuck are you on about? Bones! I figured out the greatest costume idea, and I need bones. Or a bone, at least, for it. And I've just found a website that sells them? Who knew? Not me. Harry could hear Niall's judgment through the phone. And since this phone call could maybe be recorded or used for evidence, I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't think people should order bones. It's creepy. Harry started to respond, but Niall cut him off. Night, pal. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Harry rolled his eyes and clicked buy on a single bone. He might need to figure out a way to break it up to make the R, but bone saws were a thing, right? It couldn't be too hard. And the payoff would be worth it in boner jokes alone. Part 3. The Party. Summary. It's Halloween, and Louis runs into the last person he expects to see. Oi, oi, Louis yelled as he ran for the car. Zombie footballer would be a great costume once they were indoors, but less ideal for any time outside. Liam reached over and unlocked the passenger door, smiling as Louis got in. Makeup looks wicked, Lou. Liam was dressed in his usual costume, an expensive Batman suit that Louis liked to tease him about, and looked like a bundle of nerves. Zane will love it. He's an artist, you know. You've only told me 70 times. Don't worry, I'm certain I'll like him. Any guy who has you this gone is bound to be great. Liam visibly relaxed at Louis's words, and Louis gave him a nudge. Come on, let's go before my scary neighbor drags us to his death dungeon. Liam shook his head as he started the car. Still can't believe that happened. I mean, a bone. Who gets bones in the mail? And what did he do with it? That's the thing that almost made me go over to his house and try to chat him up. He seemed pretty normal up until then, but suddenly everything about him felt weird. And there was that muffin thing, Liam added. Right, baking those muffins for Mrs. Turner after she got out of the hospital, and then she went right back in. Did he poison her? Louis shuddered. Zane's house was fully decorated for the holiday. The outside was lit in an eerie purple, and the already bare trees out front were streaked with cottony fake spiderwebs. Inside, an elaborately carved pumpkin glowed from each window. Once they got inside, Liam immediately went to find Zane while Louis decided to park himself in the kitchen. As always, it was the perfect spot for him to hang out. Not too crowded, but not empty either, with the music just the right volume for chatting and the snacks and booze within arm's reach. He'd been there about 15 minutes when a guy dressed as classic Bruce Springsteen came up and started chatting with him. His name was Niall, and he was a friend of Zane's, and he swore Louis looked familiar but couldn't quite place him. It turned out they both liked football, and so the two of them chatted until Niall pulled out his phone to answer a text. Friend's looking for me, sorry. Told him he could join us. Niall looked toward the door and broke out into a grin for a moment before bending over with laughter. Oh shit, can't believe he went and did it. Louis turned to look at Niall's friend, shaking his head as if that might help him clear it when he finally realized who Niall had been looking at. Standing in the doorway was Homicide Harry, dressed in a black t-shirt and trousers. He was wearing eyeliner, but Louis thought it must be for fashion and not for the costume, because it was fairly subtle. The real focus of the costume, though, was the pale white R he held in one hand. He was waving it at Niall, oblivious to Louis's presence for a moment. It was then that it clicked. The R was made of bone. The bone. A bone R. He rolled his eyes so hard that for a moment he worried he'd injure himself. "Haz, mate, this is Louis. He's a friend of Zane's new boyfriend." Harry's eyes went wide as he turned to greet Louis, his mouth dropping in shock. "So this is why you got the bone?" Harry nodded, a blush spreading over his cheeks. "Did it all on a whim. I didn't mean for you to think I was some kind of weirdo, but, eh." He shrugged, spinning the bone between his fingers. It was already too late. When they told people the story of how they met, Harry liked to start it off with, "It all happened because of a boner." It was a sign of how much they loved each other that Louis let him.
We hope that you've enjoyed these fics. If you like them, you can leave some love for the authors on AO3 or on Tumblr. If you would like to get in touch with us or fill in our questionnaire, you can find us on Tumblr at podfic-pals.tumblr.com. And you can listen to this and many more episodes on Anchor at anchor.fm/podfic-pals. We hope you've had a good Halloween, and until next time.